As we're considering today, what are you addicted to? Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're thinking, first of all, either, well, you're going to preach about drugs and alcohol. Well, I preached about alcohol last night. I'm not preaching about that again. And you look up there and you see all those things on the picture. And you're like, oh, yeah. And that's what we usually think of. But the fact of the matter is that addiction is a much broader subject than that. And so as we consider it today, I want us to consider that likely each and every one of us is addicted to something. Another thing that when we hear the word addiction, we assume that's a bad, sinful thing. It doesn't have to be. And so we want to consider these concepts. The scripture that was read about the household of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, the New American Standard says they devoted themselves, but this translation here says they have addicted themselves to the ministry. That's my slide problem, Wes. It's okay. David Murphy can't go out of town. We have computer problems if he leaves. But that's a problem with my slide, not with the projector this time. So they addicted themselves to ministry, and that's a good thing. There are a lot of good things we could addict ourselves to. There are also a lot of bad things that we could be addicted to that would cause us problems. So let's consider some of the things that people are addicted to and see if we find some things that maybe we struggle with. You know, we might say, well, I don't have a problem with that addiction. Well, we may and just may be in denial, as some people sometimes are with these things. So let's consider, first of all, that there are some that are addicted to their appetites. In Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3, when you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are one given to appetite. Do not be desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18 also warns us about those who do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And Philippians 3, 18 and 19 talks about those whose God is their belly. And I know a lot of us struggle sometimes with our weight and struggle with being overweight for various different reasons. But we need to constantly keep in mind this appetite and how we could become addicted to serving appetite. Now, obviously, this particular one there is focusing on an appetite for food, but it could be an appetite for any number of other things. Any appetite that we have can get completely out of hand and get out of our control. We have to constantly be buffeting our bodies, as Paul said he did, in order to keep it in subjection, to keep it under control. And then there are some who are given to change. They are addicted to changing things. And, you know, we all know that some change is good. We need change in our lives sometimes, but there are some people, and it seems like in our culture especially, we just have an addiction to changing. Everything has to change every 5 seconds, or we're bored with it, and it's dull and it's old. And, you know, that's a problem when we get to that point. I don't know about you. You ever, and we go back to the appetite for a minute. You ever go to a restaurant and you tried something there and it was really good. And so a few months later, you go back to that restaurant and you think, you know, I had that. That was really good. I'll try that again. And lo and behold, it's not on the menu anymore. They've changed the menu and they've done away with all of the things that you liked. You know, you have the same thing when you go to Walmart. They rearrange the shelves continually. I think it's just to confuse us sometimes. But change, constantly changing things just because we want to change it. We want something different. Now, sometimes it is good to have some things that are different. It's good to have some change in our lives. But when we allow that to become the motivating factor in our lives, that's a problem. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 21 and 22, Solomon warns his son, fear the Lord and the king. Of course, we don't have a king, but he would say the rulers. And do not meddle with those that are given to change. Now, notice the word addicted is not used here. But it's a situation where you are given to that thing. It controls you rather than you controlling it. I think the TV remote control helped us get addicted to change. Flip the channel. And then some of you probably remember when there was only three stations. Some of you may remember when there were only two. But there were only three or four stations, and then now there's hundreds, and so you can just sit there all day flipping, and changing that channel. And we get addicted to that constant need for something new. It's not a new thing, though. That was one of the things that even happened in the Bible times. There were a group of people Paul talked to on one occasion as he was trying to teach them about the gospel. And the only reason they were interested, we want to hear you about this, because it says that the Athenians, all they did was to want to hear something new. So I don't know, a lot of them weren't that interested in really learning what Paul had to say. They had never heard that before, so they wanted to hear something new. It was something different. And so they were just given to that change. And Solomon warns his son about those that are given to change. He says, their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them. There's going to be problems with that when you're constantly wanting to change things. You're wanting to kick out the old and in with the new. Well, sooner or later, guess what? You'll be the old, and somebody will be kicking you out for something new. As we think about another thing that we see people addicted to, we think about fornication, sexual immorality. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, we see that one of the problems that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, they gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. They are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They gave themselves over to sexual immorality. And our society is on the verge of that kind of thing as well. It's just, anything goes. There are no limits. Just do whatever feels good, do it. That is not a good way to lead to success in your life. And that's certainly not what God wants for us. But there are many people who have sex addictions, as they call them even. And they go to a rehab facility for that kind of thing. It's been a big thing here in just the last couple of months, ever since the thing with Harvey Weinstein, and he kind of started it. And then now it's the hashtag MeToo, that all these people who are being sexually assaulting and abusing and misusing other people. And it's become a serious problem in our society. And certainly, that's nothing new either. We see this go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. They gave themselves over to fornication. Sexual immorality was the thing that drove them and controlled them. Instead of them controlling their own sexual urges, they allowed that to control them. They just did whatever they felt like doing. And then there are those who are given to wickedness. In Ecclesiastes 8:8, we read, there is no one that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has the power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given over to it. Wickedness will not save you. It won't help you. And there are a lot of people who are just given over to wickedness. The Bible speaks of those who, from the time they wake up in the morning till the time they go to bed at night, their every thought was wicked. That's why God destroyed the world in Noah's day. Their thoughts were evil continually. Wickedness. There are some people who are just given over to it. Now, all of us struggle with sin. All of us have a problem that we have to constantly fight against, and all of us give in at times to some sinful thing or another, and we're all guilty. But to just be given over to wickedness is a far step from struggling with sin. These are people who are no longer fighting the sin in their life. They're no longer fighting against the devil. They have, in essence, given the devil their lives and their soul. And we don't want to be part of that group, certainly. But wickedness is something that some people are addicted to. And it may just be one particular little wickedness, a little secret sin that we keep hanging on to that one and never let that go. And that can be a problem as well. And then there are those who are given to pleasure. They're addicted to pleasure. Whatever feels good, they want to have as much fun and as much enjoyment and as much of the good feelings physically being stimulated in every way. Just pleasure, pleasure. If it feels good, do it. Make the most of it. You only live once. These are the kinds of things that we hear so many times. In Isaiah 47 and verses 7 through 9, you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not lay these things to your heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. Therefore now hear this, you that are given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, that say in your heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and the widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection. For the multitude of your sorceries and the great abundance of your enchantments. Isaiah is talking to some folks who were given over to just thinking that they had it made. You know, we live in a land where abundance is all around us. And even though probably all of us at one time or another have had those times where we struggled, we had, you know, those months where we had trouble having enough food to get to the end of it and things like that, most people in America don't really understand what it truly is to be in need. We're so used to just having whatever our heart desires. We don't know what it'd be like to go to the grocery store and find that there wasn't five different kinds of grapes that we could choose from, or 10 different kinds of oranges that we can choose from. We just have no idea what it would be like to have to really struggle with those things on a day-to-day basis. Perhaps this one is one that we're in danger of in our country more than some other places in the world because of the abundance that we have in this country. It's so easy for us to think, hey, you know, all the good things, we just come to expect them, we come to take them for granted, and we become addicted to them. And what would we do without our smartphones and our cable TV and our internet and our computer messing up? You know, all these, it's like, oh, what are we going to do? People for centuries and centuries lived without all those things, but we think we need all these pleasures of life, and we need to beware. And then there are also those who are addicted to covetousness. The Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. It's one of the few things that's specifically mentioned as something that we can put as an idol in place of God, and that is to covet other things. And to be covetous of whether it's money or possessions, we can put that ahead of God. Jeremiah 6, 11 through 15 talks about this covetousness. And he warns them because they were given over to these things. He says in verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And then he asks the question, were they ashamed when they had committed this abomination? No, he says, they were not at all ashamed. They couldn't even blush. We've got some folks in our world today who are never ashamed by anything. They've lost the ability to blush. You know, if you've ever been embarrassed or ashamed about something, it's such a natural reaction. You don't even realize it's happening. You feel the flush as the blood rushes to your cheeks and you feel, and people can see it right away. Oh, sorry, I embarrassed you there, whatever. But these folks had been so hardened by their sinfulness that they couldn't even blush. That something that's a natural reaction for most of us, they didn't even do it. It didn't happen. They never were ashamed or embarrassed enough for that to ever happen in their bodies. That natural reaction to embarrassment didn't happen. And then, of course, there are those that are addicted to alcohol, to wine. 1 Timothy 3:2-3, in talking about the elders, the bishop, he said, it must be one that is of good behavior, not given to wine, verse 3 says. So we're not to be given to anything that can control us. And wine is certainly something that has taken control of a lot of people. Get that twice for some reason. And then idolatry. When I say, well, we don't worship idols today. But we already mentioned covetousness is an idol. But there are many things in our lives that could become idols. It could be shopping. It could be clothes and things like that. It could be cars. It could be houses. It could be football or some sport. It could be hunting. You can go down the list. Just about anything can be an idol if we put that thing ahead of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, while Paul was waiting in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, for he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. They completely addicted themselves to idols. So much so that they made so many idols, and they had one for everything, and just in case they'd forgotten one, they had that one to the unknown God. Just in case we forgot one of them, here's one, just in case there's one out there we don't know about. Of course, Paul said, the only one that's real is the one y'all don't know about. I've got all these others, but this is the real one. And we need to think about that. We could be given over to idolatry, even though we may not, we think about statues. We think about the king of Babylon putting up the big, tall statue and telling everybody bow down to that. No, that's not the only kind of idolatry that there is. There are many other things that can be idols for us. And then there are those who are addicted to money. And I guess to some degree, as we all are, because you have to have money to buy everything, right? You can't eat if you don't have money. You can't pay your rent or your house payment if you don't have money. You can't buy clothes to wear if you don't have money. Nothing can be done in our country without money. And so it is a necessary evil, we might say. But the fact of the matter is there's a difference in using money and controlling it and being the master of it and being mastered by it and being controlled by it. In Titus 1 and verse 7, again talking about those who are going to be leaders in the church, he says they not only not to be given to wine, but they are not given to, the King James says, filthy lucre. Not given to, in one place God talks about Jesus talks about you can't serve both God and mammon, the King James says, but money, wealth, we cannot be given over to that. There is more to life than making money and dying. We've got to put other things as a priority above that. Say, well, preacher, I know back at the beginning, I'm pretty sure you said that not all addiction was bad, but all you're talking about is these bad things. So let's shift gears. Let's talk about something else. There were those in the Bible who were given to hospitality. They helped other people. They sheltered others who were traveling, things of that nature. Romans 12:13 talks about distributing the necessity of the saints, being given to hospitality. Open your home. Share what you have with others. That'll help conquer some of that covetousness and idolatry too. And then not allow yourself to become addicted to that. There were those, of course, also who were addicted to fasting and praying. Now obviously, being addicted to fasting too much could kill you. But we don't want to talk about that. But being regular about it. In fact, we're going to talk some more about this tonight. Fasting is our subject for our deeper study this evening. And so if you're interested in learning what the Bible has to say about that, we won't cover everything on that topic tonight. But it is something we're going to begin delving into tonight. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, talking to the married couple, he says, don't defraud one another, except by consent for a short time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So he tells the couples, you can be separate for a little while for the purpose of fasting and prayer, to draw closer to God. That would be the purpose of it. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostles said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word." And so we might add to that ministry. They were given to prayer. They were given to ministry. They were given to fasting in some of these occasions. And those things are something that will help us to deny the flesh and to draw closer spiritually to God. Prayer and fasting and ministry of the word and study. Those are things that are certainly good things. Now again, like anything, I suppose we could abuse it to some degree. You know, some people think, well, you know, the Bible does say pray without ceasing. So, well, I'm given to prayer. All I do is I lay in my bed all day and pray. Well, praying is good. But sometimes there's something better that you need to do. In one case, if we remember back to Joshua and the children of Israel, after their defeat, because you remember Achan had stolen some stuff, and so God turned against them, and some of the soldiers were killed when they tried to attack Ai. And so Joshua is just torn up over this, and he's praying, and all he's doing is praying. He didn't know what else to do at that point, but God speaks to him and tells him what the problem is. Look, somebody stole some stuff that they weren't supposed to steal, and that's why the nation's being punished. And then he says to him, "Stop praying and get up and go take care of the situation." Just, you know, praying about it is good, but doing something about it is important as well. You know, if you've got sin in your life and you're struggling with that sin, praying and asking God to forgive you, praying and asking God for strength, those are good things. But if that's all you do, you're not going to win that battle. You're still going to give in to that sin. You've got to take some other steps as well to go along with that prayer. And then, of course, we could be addicted to God. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5 talks about the Christians in Macedonia. What a wonderful group of people this was. What a wonderful example they left for us. And Paul uses it as an example for the Christians. He says, "For to their power I bear record. Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." He says, they were praying, begging us that we would receive the gift. They were giving to the needy saints in Jerusalem. This was what this is all about here. They had a need. There was a famine in Jerusalem. And so Paul was going around to the different churches collecting money to help out with that need. And here he comes to the Macedonian. They were begging us, "Here, take this gift." And he talks about the fact that they were doing it out of their deep poverty. They needed help themselves, but they were still wanting to give. And so they were wanting to help somebody else. But then he says in verse 5, "And this they did not as we hoped." Now, sometimes that makes sense. Well, they didn't do what we hoped. No, they didn't just do what we asked. But, he says, "First they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." You see, once you give yourself to the Lord, everything else is going to fall in place. Because once you've given yourself, then anything else you have control over is under God's control. But sometimes we want to give God this little piece over here and this little piece over here, and we want to keep the rest of it right here. So we want to give God our hour a week, or maybe a couple hours a week, and we want to give Him, you know, 2 or 3% of our income, or maybe we're really generous, maybe we'll give Him 5, or maybe even 10. And we'll give Him that little bit, but then everything else is under our control, and we'll do everything. If we give ourselves to God, then all of our time, all of our money, all of our resources, all of our energy, it doesn't mean we're going to be at church all the time. But everything that we do in life is going to be to bring Him glory. Everything we spend our money on is going to be to help us get closer to God and serve Him better. Everything that we spend our time on is going to be something that's going to help us be closer to Him. It's going to help us to know Him better. And so I said, well, that means, well, what about, but you know, does that mean I can't ever take a vacation? Or does that mean I can't ever go out to eat? Then I gotta live it. No. Because there is a sense in which that recreation that we have and that renewal that we may have, that's going to help us keep from being burned out and giving up. So those things can be beneficial toward us in the long run, serving God better. I've known some preachers who, I mean, they hit it so hard that 6 months, they're burned out and they're quitting. Well, they could have done a lot better work for the Lord in the long run if they had paced themselves. I was talking with somebody yesterday about a friend of theirs that had done that very thing. They hit it, they were on fire. The problem with being on fire is most things that are on fire, unlike that burning bush in Exodus, most of us, if we catch on fire, we're going to burn up. And then we're going to burn out. So we've got to be sure that we keep that fire kindled, but that we keep it tended and keep giving ourselves the fuel to keep that going. And then, of course, we mentioned already the house of Stephanus. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints in 1 Corinthians 16:15. There are some good things we could be addicted to. And if we'll look for those things in our lives that we're addicted to that we shouldn't be, and we'll replace them with good things that we should be addicted to, it's going to make a big difference in our lives. If we can replace the good for the bad. The story is told of a boy that his grandfather was trying to teach him about filling your life with things. And he gave him a basket. He said, go out and around where I chop the wood and pick up all the little wood chips, all the little kindling. I need some kindling. So fill the basket up with that. The boy went out, filled it all up, came back in. And his grandfather said, oh, good, thank you, appreciate that. Now, would you go out to the hen house and fill the basket with eggs? The boy said, well, I can't. The basket's full of the wood chips. There's no room for eggs in it. The grandfather said, that's right. So you got to dump those wood chips out, and then you can go fill the basket with eggs. We have our lives full with things. So full that we say, well, there's not room for anything else. Well, maybe we need to examine our lives and see what thing we've got filling up space. Maybe we need to take that out and put something different in, something better in its place. And if that's the case, you may need to do that today. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, and verses 19 and 20 as well, talks about how our body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to God. And so we need to live like we belong to Him. We need to give ourselves over to Him. In verses 12 and 13, Paul says, you know, all things are lawful to me, but not everything is expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of those things. He goes on to say, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. We need to be sure that we're addicted to the things that won't cause all of the problems that those bad addictions we talked about would cause. That we're addicted to things that will bring us to eternal life, that will bring us the good. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can give yourself over to the Lord the way the Macedonians did. They believed in the Lord and they repented of their sins, and they were willing to confess Him, and they were buried with Him in baptism, just like those on the day of Pentecost that we studied about in class this morning. They were told the same thing. And when they did those things, their sins were washed away, they were forgiven, and they were given a gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can do that today as well. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you find that instead of being fully addicted to the Lord and the good things, you find yourself struggling with being addicted to some of these other things. You've been giving yourself over to the things that you shouldn't. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation at this time for any reason, please come as we stand and as we sing.